This is Timaqua Presents. I'm David McDonald. Today on the podcast, I'm sharing an interview with Sarah Purser, founder of the vocal ensemble Helena. I first heard Helena back in May of 2016 at the Accidental Music Festival Marathon at Timaqua, and I was completely blown away by their engaging, charismatic performance and their creative repertoire. This is a young group. They're less than a year old, but I think it's one we'll be hearing from for a while. Before I get to the interview, I have a few favors to ask. First, go see this show. Sunday, February 5th at 7:30 at Timaqua. It's totally free. Timaqua.com for more information. While you're there on the site, sign up for the email list to get all the latest on our upcoming events and consider joining Timaqua. Members get all kinds of benefits, including preferred seating and discounts on ticketed events. And last, get in touch. Subscribe to this podcast in iTunes and leave a review. Let me know what you think on Twitter. I'm at Dave McDo. That's D-A-V-E-M-A-C-D-O. This is a new project, and I'd love to hear how you think we can make it better. And now, Helena. This morning, I met myself coming in. A bright girl, a jungle girl, shining, shining quick as a snake.
Helena is a group. There's six of us, and we're all women who have sung together in Orlando in some capacity over the course of the past 10 years. So we actually currently all sing, well, not all of us, but most of us sing together in a professional church choir. And, you know, we kind of got this idea that we love that music. It's great. The church is a great place to make choral music, and, you know, I love it. But we wanted to sort of branch out and do music that, you know, was not necessarily sacred music. We wanted to sort of try doing music that was newer. And so we got this idea to sort of try to put together a group. And really, the AMF festival that happened last spring was the catalyst for us to actually make it happen. So the six of us kind of got together and talked to Chris Belt and said, we really want to do this thing. We got this great idea. And then that was how it all kind of came together and gelled.
It's fantastic that, you know, there's this performance that somebody set up and then an ensemble was invented just to fill that gap.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I hadn't actually said that out loud yet, but it really was that. That was the, you know, sometimes you just need that carrot. You're like, okay, I've got this idea, you know, and I'm an idea person. I always have 1,000 ideas. My friends they get exhausted because I'm always like, oh, guys, we should do this. And sometimes I need somebody to, you know, help me pull all my ideas together and actually make it happen. So that was what that was for us, AMF Festival.
So how long have you been in Orlando? How long have you known the people that are in this group?
Well, I came to Orlando, oh my gosh, like 16 and a half years ago. It blows my mind that I've lived here that long. I actually moved here in 2000 to come to UCF. When I was in high school, I went to high school in Sarasota, and my choir director is very good friends with David Bruner. And so David Bruner would come to my school and work with us, and we traveled with him and, you know, workshops with him and things. And I just thought he was the coolest, and I just loved the way he worked, the choir, and I was so inspired by him. So when I was doing my audition circuit and I came to UCF, I really felt like I belonged here, that this was, you know, like the place that I was going to thrive, and I wanted to work with him. So I ended up at UCF. I got my undergraduate degree in music ed, ended up with a teaching job here in Orlando, and then here I am, almost 17 years later. And, you know, I went back to grad school to actually, you know, study conducting with David Bruner. And so I really am very inspired by him. And, you know, I met a few of the members of Helena here at UCF. So Sarah Barnes and Samantha Barnes are sisters, also in Helena, also from UCF. And Kristen Ely is another member of Helena who, when I was here doing my master's degree, I was a TA and she was actually in my music theory class. So we met that way and kind of have all come together. So that's, you know, how I ended up here.
Something has reached out.
So we got this idea, put this group together. And the worst part about putting a group together, a band together, is the coming up with a name, which everybody, I think, agrees. Because it really has to embody the spirit of the group. And it has to sort of be cool and catchy. And so we went around in circles about, or at least I went around in circles in my head, and I'm sure I was annoying. I'm sending them texts about, how about this? How about this? How about this? And then all of a sudden it just popped into my head. Like, we should think of a name, a strong female name, since we are all strong females who are trying to make art that sort of embodies, you know, when you hear it, you think of, at least I think of something that's like refined, but also sort of exciting and exhilarating, and like Helena sounds strong, but also feminine. And so it's one single name that I think really, I don't have a good answer, but then so it sort of happened back.
Well, I think it's a great name, which is why I asked.
Right, I love
like
the
how
name.
Do you come up with a great name like that? Because like you said, that's a problem everybody has.
Right. Well, yeah. So I mean, I came up with this just name, and I threw it out to everybody, and it was the first time they were all like, "Yes, that's the name." But then I was like, "But what about if I ever have to do an interview and they ask me how we came up with the name? I don't really have a good answer." So,
I love that's the first thing that came into your head when we become super famous. Yeah. And I'm on VH1 Behind the Scenes.
Exactly.
Like,
that's right. Exactly what I thought. But the name Helena, I actually looked this up the other day and I wrote it down. So the name Helena, if you look it up, it means bright shining light, which I think is so cool. Because, you know, we are trying to be a light. We are trying to sort of like take music that not just inspires your ear, but also inspires your heart, because the text and the words and the language and the, you know, the composer, it's all, we want to shed light on music that maybe not everybody has heard, and maybe text that not everybody understands. And, you know, composers that like just, you know, really have something to say about the world. So I think that the name Helena, meaning bright shining light, is so apropos. But you know, I wish I would have thought of that before. But I'm being honest. So
no, that's great.
Came after.
Your description of the rep that you're looking for is really interesting. How do you go about putting together a program for Helena? What sorts of things are you looking for?
Okay. Well, people assume when I talk about, well, we're a women's choir, or we're a women's ensemble, and we're all, you know, strong females and all this, they think, oh, well, you're going to be all rep by women composers, which is not the truth. That's not the case. But we do like to feature female composers because they're underrepresented, I think. So we do, every time we program, we do try to look for music from female composers that we really love. But it can't just be, oh, let's do this piece because it has to be good music, too. So that's one qualification. Also, we read the poetry. So that's something that's super important. And the poetry has to, you know, has to speak to the female experience. And that's something that Helena, I think, needs to, or that we're trying to represent and trying to show, is that the female experience is a very unique experience, and it's very broad. And so, you know, it's not one thing. But it's a perspective that I think needs to be represented in a way that is powerful. So looking for text, and then looking for music that is adventurous, you know, and you know, I think our, you know, going back to David Bruner, I talk about him a lot because he's a huge inspiration for me. But one of the reasons why I really got the idea to put Helena together was because I heard a piece that David Bruner composed for Sandra Snow,
Michigan State.
Yeah. Where I know you have spent some time. And he wrote for the Michigan State Women's Choir.
Go Spartans.
Yes, go Spartans. Go Spartans. And it was his, all I was doing was breathing, which is the piece that they premiered at the American Choral Director Association conference. And when I saw the video of that piece that was posted on YouTube after the performance, I was like, I need to perform that piece of music. So, that's, you know, kind of how, you know, it all sort of came together. And that was the first piece that we started working on. So, you know, I get inspiration from performances, and we kind of all pull in ideas, and sometimes we'll hear something and we'll say, oh, I really need to perform that. So it's not just one thing. So
cool. As a composer, it's very gratifying for me to hear a choral person talk about how valuable it is to you that you find music that is adventurous in some way, because as you're, I'm sure, more aware than I am, that's rarer than it probably should be.
That is very true. And adventurous can mean a lot of things, you know. Adventurous, you know, for us, doing David Bruner's All I Was Doing Was Breathing was very adventurous because we're a very small ensemble, and that piece was written for a larger ensemble. It was written for some percussion instruments that are not necessarily, you know, readily available. Not that they're not readily available, but not as, you know, commonly used. So there's some difficulties in, like, just putting that piece together. And so that, in and of itself, that little piece made that adventurous for us. But the music itself, you know, to be adventurous, to be challenging, or live in, you know, kind of different tonal centers is, you know, it's something that we're up for the challenge. We want to explore. I think probably on this concert, the one of the most adventurous things that we're going to do, we're definitely stepping outside of the choral box, because as we were programming this concert, one of our sopranos, Anne Eschbach, came up with the idea. She's like, well, why don't we perform Libby Larson's Try Me Good King, which is actually not a choral work. It's a vocal piece. It's a song cycle. And it's also, it lives in some, you know, it's not easy to sing. The piano and the voice are kind of living in different areas. And we took a look at it and we're like, yes, this is, we can, why not? We're breaking the rules. We're being adventurous in all these different ways. So
are you all going to sing it together in unison?
No. So it's a song cycle. I'm a Good King. It's a song cycle that talks about the last words, or the, you know, the parting words of King Henry's five of the six of King Henry's wives. And so each of the movements will be sung by each of the females in the group. So we've all sort of chosen one of the wives, and we're going to portray the wife. Yeah, so
that's real cool.
It's going to be very cool. I'm super excited. So
hearing you say that, it makes me think of this somewhat trend thing in instrumental music, new music, where instead of putting together ensembles, people are putting together what they call collectives.
Yep.
And they do all these little subsets.
Yep.
And so, you know, there'll be a large group. And if everybody came together on one piece, it would be, you know, a small chamber orchestra.
Right.
But then they can do like a little break off piano trio, or a little break off woodwind quartet or something. I think that's a really cool thing for a choir to do. I don't know if there are a lot of other groups that are doing that.
I'm not sure that there are either. I mean, I don't know. And I hate to say it, but, you know, we're like a little island. There's not a lot of, you know, when you think of choral music, it's churches and schools. And so, you know, for us to start a choral group here, it's kind of, you know, outside of that realm. It's a little bit different. There's other places like in Colorado, there's a lot of that happening up north in, you know, New England and New York and that area. There's a lot of that happening, but I don't know about around here. And I love the idea of a collective, is having these people who are, you know, interested in this type of music, who can kind of put together different ensembles and different. I mean, I love that idea, but it is kind of like that, because like I mentioned, the piece, you know, has five movements. There are actually six of us in the group, so one of us, you know, it's not featuring all six of us, but just, you know, at first I was like, oh no, what are we gonna do, you know? But you have to flow and I think choose music that speaks to you and speaks to the group and speaks to the individual members in the group. So, you know, I think in the future I would love to look at even, you know, other things. You know, maybe we do, you know, a vocal duo, or maybe we bring in, you know, some instrumentalists to, you know, be featured. And I'd love to sort of create more of a collective vibe. You know, I love that idea.
Just listening to you spitball like that is very exciting.
Well, that's all Helena is, and really, I mean, that's like my life. And that's how all my little projects end up starting to happen, because I just, you know, I'm like, oh, words and thoughts and ideas. And then, you know, every once in a while, somebody much more organized than I takes one of my little ideas and says, oh, no, we can actually do this one. Like, let's get this together. Focus, Sarah, bring it in. So, you know, yeah, that's.
So when you guys are starting to put together a program, you're just kind of, everybody in the group is saying, hey, here's a cool thing I heard once. Let's see
yeah,
if we can do that.
Yeah, like I was saying, so we were kind of sitting around, like I said, four out of the six of us sing together at the Basilica in Orlando, so we're together a lot. So we're sitting between services talking about music that we really were, you know, like, what kind of music do we really want to do for this concert? And we kind of just, you know, I love this piece. Oh, I sang this piece once, or I heard this piece once. We made a list. You know, we all sort of collaborated through ideas in the box, and then, you know, sort of narrowed it down. Well, this, you know, requires, you know, an English horn and, you know, two oboes. I don't know. You know, I don't know if we're gonna be able to pull that together, if we really have a budget to pay. You know, that's part of it too, is, you know, when you bring in, you know, other instrumentalists and other musicians, you know, we don't really have a budget. So, you know, like, we're collaborating with a pianist. And so, you know, a lot of times doing these concerts costs us money, you know, and so it is prohibitive. And so when we're choosing music, those are all factors, you know, so we all put ideas in and then eliminate based on those criteria. Like, oh yeah, we can't afford to hire, you know, 6 string players for this gig, but maybe next time. So we'll put it on the list.
Is there anything you haven't been able to do yet that you really are passionate about trying at some point?
You know, it's funny that you say that. There is a song cycle that by Gwyneth Walker that we're actually singing one, I Will Be Earth, which is one of the pieces in the cycle. But that's on my to-do list, is to sing her I Will Be Earth song cycle. I think there's 8 pieces in it, and I love her writing. We're actually singing one of her song sets. We did it for the festival. We're actually going to do it again because it was just so much fun to sing. We did the first and the last of that set, and we're actually going to do all 3 pieces. But I would love to do that I Will Be Earth, the whole song cycle. That's kind of top of my list right now. But I'm, you know, I'm discovering music as we're doing this. Like, you know, I listen to recordings. I talk to colleagues, and, you know, things kind of pop up. But I don't know. I don't know yet. My ears, my eyes are always open, but I don't know yet.
Do you have any, like, long-term goals for this group?
That's a really good question. So we are all so busy that it is, every time we put together, you know, every time a concert opportunity pops up or a performance opportunity pops up, it's like, okay, guys, look at this going, you know, let's get this together. And so long-term, I would love for us to have rep under our belt that we could, you know, perform, you know, more readily when people call, and we'd be, you know, I would love to travel. I would love to get this name, Helena, out and, you know, into other communities. And I just, right now, it's really hard. We're all teachers. We're all, you know, a lot of us are, you know, parents and, you know, wives, and like have all these other life responsibilities. So it's so hard to, you know, but if I had it my way, I would, you know, we would record, we would, you know, collaborate with other ensembles, and we would be traveling and doing it all. But for right now, our goal is to perform at least a couple times a year, and to learn new rep, you know, at least twice a year. To put together a couple concerts. And I think that's a safe goal for now. Eventually, I think we'll grow, I hope.
Yeah, that's fantastic. As you said earlier, you know, independent vocal ensembles that are not associated with a school and not associated with a church are super rare and super valuable.
Well, thanks.
It's great. There's so little opportunity to hear secular choral music performed really well.
Yes, I agree. And you know, I'm such a choir nerd, you know. I love that music. It really was transformative for me when I was a young singer to sing in a choir. I learned how to sing in a choir, and I learned how to love music in a choir. And there's something about voices coming together to sing text that I think is so unique. I mean, I was also a percussionist. I've been an instrumentalist, and I love instrumental music as well. You know, my husband's a jazz bassist. I listen to a lot of jazz, but there is something about choral music, the poetry and voices, that has always just really just spoken to me. And I think that a lot of our culture misses out on that because they don't hear it, because it's you know, we keep choral music in these little small, you know, in churches and in schools. And there's no reason, there's no reason why people can't, you know, understand and appreciate it just like they would any other type of music. So it's one of my goals and my missions is to bring, you know, this type of music to the public and perform in spaces that are not churches and necessarily concert halls, you know, which is why I love Timaqua, because it is, you know, a unique space. And I would love to do, you know, concerts in other spaces, you know. I've thought, like, even, you know, coffee shops like Stardust, you know, and why not, you know, I don't know. I need ideas, but I feel like once people hear this music, it really touches your soul when you hear singers who really are passionate, and especially adult singers, you know, you hear choirs, like high school choirs, but, you know, when you hear women who are older and have a little bit more experience singing rep, like David Brunner, all I was doing was singing, who really understand, like, the gravity of the text, I think it can be, you know, really powerful. People don't know what they're missing out on, you know?
Right. And it's, I think, particularly valuable that you guys just kind of got up and started this thing in Orlando. And this is something I talk about with Timaqua people all the time, that I think outside of, like, the Northeast, there's a lot of an inferiority complex around new music.
Oh, yes.
And certainly not deserved. There's great stuff happening in Orlando, and yes. Helena's a big part of that now, I think.
Yeah, I do. I feel, I know exactly what you're talking about, and as an Orlandoan, I've been here for almost 17 years, I feel very passionately that there is so much richness here. I mean, and UCF, too. Like, there's so much potential coming out of UCF, and there's so much music here, and I think, you know, we just need to work harder to come together as a community because, you know, you're stronger en masse. And when, you know, things like, you know, AMF happen and, you know, people like Chris Belt and, you know, you come together to sort of showcase what's happening here, I think it's powerful. And I think that, you know, hopefully the rest of the world will start to notice that, I mean, there is a lot happening in Orlando. It's a very rich musical place, you know, and I have felt this for a long time, even as a singer-songwriter, you know, when I started playing my guitar in coffee houses, you know, it's like, you know, you feel like an island because, you know, you don't
need... And you feel like you have to convince people of this outside of Orlando. Really? When you talk to people that don't live here,
yes.
Like the idea that there is culture that is not the theme parks.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, it's almost like they laugh when you tell them that you're from. I'm like, no, you've got to come and check it out. You know, I'm not talking about Kissimmee. I'm not talking about Disney. Come and experience, you know, come to Tempqua. Come check out some of the music that's happening here because they're missing out. And Try Me Good King, as well as the Gwyneth Walker song set, My Girls. We are also, we're learning, I'm going to look at my list because I'll forget. we're actually doing a set of pieces by David Childs, who Samantha Barnes is one of the sopranos in the group, and she is very passionate about his Song of Ruth, which they sang at her wedding. And so she has been asking since we started the group if we could perform that piece, and it's stunningly gorgeous. And so I'm so excited to collaborate with Lynn Pagani on the piano to do his Song of Ruth, and then also his Weep No More, which are pieces that I have to admit that you'll hear sometimes collegiate ensembles and high school choirs performing. But like I said, just hearing a group of women who have a little bit more life experience interpreting these pieces, I think, is really special. I don't want to disappoint you, but we're also doing a piece of music that's very not new.
That's fine.
We're doing a...
It's so very not new that it's, like, pre-Bach. That's, like, just as good as far as I'm concerned.
This is very pre-Bach. This is Hildegard von Bingen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Rock and roll.
Yes. So we thought that it would be really cool to tie her into our program. And we're also going to be doing an arrangement of a John Prine tune, Angel from Montgomery. And there's some other surprises on the concert, but that's sort of, you know, kind of...
Well, you don't need to spoil anything.
I'm not trying to spoil anything. But that's what we're doing. It's when I program concerts, I like to, you know, let's pick a theme and let's pick a word, or let's pick, you know, but this concert kind of came together with, let's just sing music that we love, sing music that we're really passionate about, and music that we think that people are going to connect to. And so that's how we've narrowed down our program. So I really hope that people like it as much as I do.
I think that's a great place to start for a program, especially this is your first full-length program, right?
Yes, we've done some little concerts after we did AMF last spring. We actually got calls from a few people to come and, you know, perform for different events and things, but we've done short little sets. So this is our first full-length concert, which is super exciting.
And here I am asking about your long-term goals.
I know.
Your long-term goals to get through February.
Exactly. Please let me just survive this concert. And my long-term goal is for us to just keep making music together, you know. I love it so much. It's It's really filled like a little gap in my heart where I was trying to figure out what fit there. And it's making music with these amazing women and these women who are just so musical and so expressive and artistic. I feel lucky, so lucky. So
I think that's a great place to end this.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank
it's been
you
great
so
talking
much.
To you.
Yes, it has been. It's been an awesome experience.
Thanks again to Sarah for joining me on our inaugural episode. Subscribe to this feed for a full performance by Helena in the near future. And don't forget to visit Timucua.com for all the details about their show on February 5th. I'll see you there.